You are now listening to The More Abundant Life. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for The More Abundant Life, and I'd like to welcome you today to our program. This program features the ministry of Pastor Wendley Phipps, the spoken word, and music. Today, we have a long message, and as we have done from time to time, we have omitted our usual special music, and we have proceeded right to the message, and we're going to do that today. The title of today's sermon is, What Meaneth These Stones? Pastor Phipps again draws some interesting analogies and lessons from an old Bible story. Here now is Pastor Wendley Phipps.
That day that the children of Israel had marched for and prayed for had finally arrived. The time had come for them to make ready to cross over into the promised land. They gathered at the banks of the Jordan River with Canaan in view. But between them and Canaan lay an impenetrable wall of water. The high winds and treacherous currents made this crossing appear to be an insurmountable task. The level of the river had risen so high that in places it overflowed its banks. God's people looked everywhere along the river's edge, but there was no shallow place where they could cross. The mighty Jordan seemed impassable that day. The children of Israel knew that without the help and intervention of God, they would not be able to cross over to the other side. Joshua, the prophet and leader of the children of Israel, Moses' successor, called the people together and said, "This day you must put away your sins. This day you must sanctify yourselves. For tomorrow we cross over. Tomorrow we cross over the Jordan to the land God has promised to us." "Tomorrow," said Joshua, "the Lord has promised to do wonders in our midst." Early the next morning, with the sound of the shofar and the shout of triumph, the procession to cross over began. The ark carried by the priests began moving down towards the bank of the Jordan. Now you've got to understand, the river was still flowing at full force, and God's people were advancing to the water. As they advanced as though there were no river there at all. By faith, they moved steadily toward the angry, surging stream. And as the priests entered the water, suddenly with the rush of a mighty wind, as though some invisible hand had swept down from heaven, the waters of the Jordan were neatly, mysteriously rolled back. The river rolled back as a scroll, exposing before Israel a dry, bare riverbed to cross over. And as they advanced through the river, the people sang and they praised the Lord. They all knew that this was a miracle. This was the miracle they had prayed for. They all knew that on their behalf, God had yet again invoked the spectacular. Now, church, they had heard of how God had parted the sea for their forefathers when they were slaves leaving Egypt. It had been rehearsed to them in Sabbath school. Yeah, they had Sabbath school too. How God, with the breath of his nostrils, cleaved for their forefathers a six-lane superhighway through the Red Sea. And now here they were at the River Jordan, about to enter the promised land, and here God was doing it again. Someone said, he'll do it again. As he's done it for others, he'll do it for you. He will do it again. When the priests who were carrying the ark advanced to the middle of the river, they stopped and stood there in the middle of the Jordan, and they waited for the entire nation of Israel to cross over to the other side. Brothers and sisters, I said, brothers and sisters, I want you to go back to that text because I'm going to show you something that many of you don't realize. Back to the book of Joshua, chapter 4. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Look at verse 8. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded. If you got a Bible, turn to it now. Chapter 4, verse 8. And took up, what? 12 stones. Now this was the first set of 12 stones. You gotta stay with me today. And they took the 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And look at verse 9. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the River Jordan. Huh, are you with me? In the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. So right now, there is an altar under a river. You didn't hear what I said. There is an altar under a river where the feet of the priests stood. And it is there unto this day. Hallelujah. I can just imagine those priests standing there. And they were in the Jordan River, unafraid. Oh, can you imagine water up on your right, water up on your left, and these priests standing there unconcerned like spiritual soldiers, watching as all Israel with their wives and children, their flocks and herds, those priests stood there unafraid while the entire host of God's people made their way across the Jordan. Oh, but something else happened. While the priest stood with the ark in the midst of the Jordan, those 12 men, chosen from each tribe, took up another large, heavy stone from the riverbed, and they carried it over to the western side of the Jordan River. They took those stones out of the Jordan, and as Joshua had commanded at Gilgal, they assembled 12 stones into an altar. Hallelujah. That day after crossing over, church, Joshua commanded the people to erect a monument to the power of God, a monument to the proficiency, the proficiency. Your God is proficient. The proficiency of an incomparable God. That day with those stones, God's people erected an altar because Joshua said, many years from that day, generations yet unborn would come down to the river and look at that altar. They knew that, he knew that many years from that day, generations unborn would come down to the River Jordan and look upon that curious shrine of stone and granite taken out from the bed of that river. And with each succeeding generation, they would inquire, what mean these stones? What mean these stones? Are they ordinary stones? Do they have significance? What mean these stones? Church, this question quoted here in our scripture would be an important question for the future blessing of God's people. They knew that when generations yet unborn would come down to the River Jordan and ask, what mean these stones? They were to be told of that day when Joshua commanded the people of God through the might and power of God to march into the waters of the River Jordan. They were to be told that day that God parted the waves and that all the people of the earth would know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. The Bible tells us as soon as the priests and the ark had come out of that Jordan, suddenly there was a collapse of the wall of water. Hallelujah. And the river turned again and began to flow in its normal channels, wild and unruly as before. Now, you know, since that day, skeptics and men of doubt have tried to explain away the biblical record of that supernatural event. Some people don't believe that waters can part. Some even try to explain it scientifically. But let me tell you what I believe really happened that day. I believe that on that day, the glory of the Lord went before the children of Israel into the waters of the Jordan River. And when the Shekinah glory approached the water, you didn't hear me today. When the presence of God hit those waves, I believe that day that a free-flowing river realized that the King of Glory was in its midst, and all the water in the River Jordan stood up at attention. I want you to know, I believe that when God's presence approached the Jordan, a shout went out through all creation, including the molecules that were in that water. And that day, the waters of the River Jordan saluted the King of Kings as he led his people across to the other side. I want you to know that as long as God's glory was standing in the Jordan, God's people knew that no disaster would come to them. As long as God's glory was standing in the waters of the Jordan, no calamity, no catastrophe could sweep over the children of God. They knew that as long as God's glory was standing in the water, as long as God's glory was in the Jordan, no calamity was possible. No accident was imminent. They knew that as long as God was in the water with them, they were safe. You thought it was only the children of Israel in the water. All right, go to Isaiah chapter 43, and here's the promise. Here's the promise. Here's the promise built on this experience. When thou passest through the waters, hallelujah. Amen. You're not going through that water by yourself. The glory of the Lord will be with you in the waters. I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Oh, my friend, you may be in the middle of a trial or a problem that's too big for you to handle. It may seem that there's no way for you to go through it. I want you to know that as long as God is with you, when you pass through your waters, they will not overflow you. You won't drown. When God is with you, he says, I will be with you, and because I'm with you, calamity will stand back. And when you are through, and I like this, that lets me know that we are not going through it by ourselves. Amen? So you can't say that I came through. You know, you got to say we came through. Jesus and I didn't come through this by myself. We came through this. Hallelujah. When we pass through, God and I, only then will terror flow again after you pass through. God wants you to know that all the water in the world can't drown you as long as God is with you. All the water, hallelujah. All the water in the world can't bury you as long as God is with you. I also came here to tell you that while you're in the river of your experience, God wants you to take out some stones. He wants you to take out some Ebenezers. You see, when you're going through a difficult time, there are always blessings. When you're going through a difficult experience, there are always blessings there. And God wants you to take those blessings out of the river. Evidences of his miraculous power at work in your life. And with those stones, he wants you to build an altar in your mind. Hallelujah. With those stones, he wants you to build testimonies of his grace and power. He wants you to build an altar. So he wants you to build it so that when your children see you happy and you've been through it, when your children see your life of faith, they will say, Daddy, what mean these stones? Mama, what mean these stones? And you can tell them that there was a time in my life when I didn't know how I'd make it through, but God made a way out of no way, and I passed over on the dry ground. You can tell them that this is a place where your mommy and your daddy should have drowned. But God opened up a highway in the sea so we could pass over on the dry ground. Church, God wants you to regularly pause long enough to celebrate and thank him for his mercies. Take up those stones out of the river. Every day you ought to pause long enough to pay God a tribute. Amen. And God wants you to take it out of the river because everybody needs a reminder in their lives that God can do anything. Amen. The book of Philippians. And I thank God for his holy word. Chapter 3, verse 13. Paul says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations. Chapter 3, verse 13. That ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Oh, I'm sorry, reading Ephesians. Philippians, I meant. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I said the days of your youth are gone. I got to start wearing glasses in the pulpit now. Have mercy, Jesus. I'm trying not to wear glasses in the pulpit. Amen. I've been trying, y'all haven't been watching me. I've been looking at the hymnal from way over here. Oh, but I'm going to have to break down. Philippians 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are hills before us that we're going to conquer. Valleys before us we're going to pass through. And what mean these stones? They mean that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. These stones mean that God knows no limitations. Did you know your God knows no limitations? What he does for us is only limited by our own faith. Did you get that? Did you get that? What God does for you is not limited by his ability. It is limited by your faith. What mean these stones? They mean he knows all you're going through and he's right there with you. They mean that when you got ready to put your feet in the water, God made a way. When others thought you were getting too big for your britches. Huh? When others thought you were biting off more than you could chew. you notice, when you step out in faith, God provides.
Amen.
What mean these stones? It means that God can do anything. And if you step out in faith, he will provide. They mean that the ability of God is beyond your every prayer. Have you noticed, brothers and sisters, some of you have sent up prayers to the throne of God from these stones. What mean these stones? Some thought your prayers too presumptuous. Some thought that you were asking for more than you deserved. Hallelujah. Let me give you a hint. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. Let me say it to you again. Recognize you are coming to a king. So large petitions with thee bring. I used to work and help a ministry, and a man who worked for that ministry went to ask a donor for a gift for the ministry. And when he asked the donor for the gift, he stammered a little bit because it was in the millions. Well, I want you to know, when the leader and founder of the ministry heard what this man had done, he went to him. He said apologetically, I must tell you, I never gave him the authority. I never asked him to do that. He was doing this on his own, and I apologize. And the man looked at the founder of the ministry, said, "What's the matter? You don't think I'm worth it?" Huh? When you're coming to a king, large petitions with you bring. Whatever cup you bring, God will fill it. Whatever cup you bring, God can fill it. So you might as well bring a big cup. You didn't hear what I said. If God can fill any cup you bring, why are you going to bring a saucer? Huh? When you ask for a sunbeam, God will give you glory of sunshine. I want you to know the very best that you have asked for has still fallen short of your Father's ability. Get that. Don't leave church without that. Anything you have ever prayed for in the past has still fallen short of your Father's ability. When your imagination has almost wearied itself, God can still do more than that. God is able to do more than you can ask or think. Years ago, during the civil rights struggle, and thank God for Dr. King, for his faith, his imagination, during the civil rights struggle, a man who still had servants down in Louisiana heard that one of his servants was going to those civil rights meetings. So he called him and he said, "Jim, I heard you've been going to those civil rights meetings. And I heard that your preacher has been saying that y'all will get the right to vote." He said, "Jim, I want you to know that'll never happen." Old Jim wasn't educated. But Jim turned to the man, his master, and said, "Yeah, I heard what you said, sir, but suppose God say so." Suppose God say so. You want God to do something for you, but you're afraid to ask. I only have to say to you one thing. Suppose God say so. Suppose God said, "I'm going to take care of it." Why do I say that he can do it? He'll do more than you expect. Take that home with you tonight, today. He'll do more than you expect. Turn to that person next to you and say, he'll do more than you expect. He'll do more than you expect. He always does more than we expect. He didn't just make a single drop of water, he made oceans. He didn't create just one star, he created galaxies. He didn't just make one kind of bird, he made thousands of different kinds of birds. He didn't just make one hill, he made the Rockies and the Alps and the Andes. He didn't just make the sun, he made sunrises and sunsets. He is able to do abundantly above, beyond what you expect. He always exceeds our expectations. What mean these stones? They mean God can do anything. There are no limits to his love. No boundaries to his blessings. No fences to hold him back. No guardrails from his grace. If God is able to do all that, what can he not do with your life? What can he not do with your heart? What can he not do with your hands? What can he not do with your talents? What can he not do with your gifts? What can he not do with your family? What can he not do for your friends? What can he not do for you at school? What can he not do for you at work? What can he not do with your future? You worried about your future. He can exceed your expectations.
That's the end of today's message and almost the end of today's program. And what a wonderful set of lessons that have been drawn by Pastor Phipps from our text today and from the story today. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of this message, here's what you need to do. Please contact, by phone, the Seabrook Church. The phone number, 301-577-6342. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. And you want to ask for program number 354. Today's program is program number 354. You may also email a request to the Seabrook Audiovisual Department at seabrookav@yahoo.com. That's seabrookav@yahoo.com. Well, we thank you for listening today. We hope that you will join us again here on another program, The More Abundant Life. But until you can, we always like to remind you to remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. That's where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Give what's in your heart.